Mishnah Hey, final Mishnah of the Masechta. The halacha is the one is able to make a neder, a vow not to benefit from a certain thing. For example, he can make a neder not to benefit from any food for the next day. Now, if one does make a neder and then a certain situation comes up where he realizes that he doesn't actually want to keep his neder, so he can go to a Talmud Chacham, and that Chacham can try and find a way out for this person. For example, if he finds a reason for why the person, had he known that this situation would come about, then he wouldn't have made the neder. So in that situation, Talmud Chacham can annul the person's neder, and he will be allowed to benefit from that thing which he made a vow against. This is known as Hatoras Nedarim, annulling a vow. Now there's another halacha with regards to one's daughter when she's a certain age, while she is maturing. If she makes a vow, then even without any reason whatsoever, if her father hears about the vow, then for the rest of that day until the night time, the father is able to annul the vow and cancel it as if it never happened, as if the vow never even began. Similarly, any woman who is married, her husband also has that power, that on the day that the husband hears about the vow, he is able to cancel it as if she didn't make the vow. Now, the husband can't do this on every single vow which she makes, only on certain types of vows, if it affects their marriage, or if it causes her suffering, so then he would be able to cancel the neder, and that is known as haforas nedarim, cancelling the vow. So there's Hatoras Nedarim done by a Chacham, and there is Haforas Nedarim done by the father or the husband of a woman. Now, even though this can seem like a weekday activity, especially Hatoras Nedarim, where you get a Talmud Chacham or a Beis Din, nevertheless, the Mishnah says that Mefirin Nedarim by Shabbos, one is allowed to do Haforas Nedarim on Shabbos. That's when the father or the husband just cancels the vow. Because since we said that you've only got until the end of the day to do so, the Rabbanim were lenient and allowed them to annul the vow on that day, since after Shabbos goes out, it will be too late to do so. And similarly, Vinish Olim Lidvarim Shein Tzarech HaShabbos, one can ask a Talmud Chacham about annulling his vow via Hatoras Nedarim, but only if the neder is something which concerns Shabbos. For example, if you made a neder not to eat the three meals on Shabbos. So something like that concerns Shabbos, so you can go to Talmud Chacham and try and annul the vow on Shabbos. However, if it does not concern Shabbos, so since Hatoras Nedarim can be done even after Shabbos, unlike Haforas Nedarim done by the father or the husband, so you cannot do Hatoras Nedarim on Shabbos itself, unless it concerns Shabbos, of course. Rather, you will have to wait until after Shabbos goes out, and then you can go to the Talmud Chacham and try and do Hatoras Nedarim. The Mishnah continues with a couple of other activities which involve some sort of mitzvah, and because of that, the regular laws of Uvdin D'chol, of weekday activities, might not apply. First, the Mishnah says a couple of laws, and then it will bring a story to illustrate these laws. Now, even before we get there, the Mishnah says that Poikikin is Hamo'er, one is allowed to close a window with a wooden board, or whatever they would use to close the window. And the truth is, we saw earlier on in the Masechta that this is actually a machlekes, and this Mishnah goes according to the opinion that it is permitted. Even if the wooden board isn't tied to the wall, even if it's resting on the floor, you can take it and close the window. It's not considered to be adding on to the structure or anything. Umoidin is hamatlis, one is also allowed to measure a piece of cloth to see if it's large enough to make something else tome. If, for example, a piece of small cloth became tome, it, let's say, touched a dead body, and then that cloth touched something else. So for that to make the other thing tome, it has to be at least 3x3 etzbaos, 3x3 finger breadths. So the Mishnah is telling us that if you're not sure whether it's big enough or not, in order to ascertain and find out whether the other thing became tome, Umoidin in the Samatlis, one is allowed to measure the piece of cloth on Shabbos. This Hamikveh, one is also allowed to measure a mikveh, whether it's large enough to hold 40 sa'ah of water. That's the minimum amount of water which a mikveh must contain. And since these things are considered mitzvah-related activities, even though in general measuring things is considered to be a weekday activity, and is therefore generally forbidden midrabbanon on Shabbos, when it comes to these mitzvah-related activities, it is permitted. There was a story which once occurred in the days of Rabbi Tzadik, Uvmei Abishol ben Botnis, and in the days of Abishol ben Botnis, Shepokhus HaMo'er, that they closed up the window b'tofiach with an earthenware bucket, and the reason why they did this is as follows. The halacha is that if there is a dead body inside a building, then anything under the same roof becomes tomei. However, if there is a wall which goes from the floor until the ceiling, and separates between the room where the dead body is and another room, then the other room and the things inside the other room remains tahar. However, if there is a opening in that wall, for example a window, then the tumah travels from that room and also goes into the other room and makes everything in that room tahar. Now we're discussing a case where you have two different buildings, and let's say each building is made up of only one room, and there's a small gap between the two buildings, however that gap is filled up by a barrel. Let's say you've got a barrel which connects between one building and the other. So that barrel effectively makes both buildings have one roof. It connects the two roofs of the buildings. And now, in order that the things in the other house do not become tome, you're reliant on the wall separating it. Because it's really considered to be one big house now, one big building. So there was a person who was about to die in one of the buildings, and the people wanted to make sure that when he does die, it doesn't make everything else in the other building also tome. So what do? Shepakkus ha-ma'or. They close up the window, firstly, of that building, so the tumor would not travel further on past the wall. Betofiach, and they did this using a earthenware bucket. And the reason why they did this is because if the thing which you close the window with can itself become tome, then it does not help to stop the tumor from traveling through it. Now, the special halacha about earthenware is that it can only become tome on its inside, but the outside of an earthenware utensil cannot become tome. So if the outside of the bucket is the part of the bucket which is facing the room with the dead body, then it would block the tumah from traveling past there into the other room. Now, for whatever reason, after the person died, they needed to open the window. Now, if they open the window, then it's going to cause the tumah to travel to the other room as well. However, if you recall, they are really two separate buildings, and the only thing separating, the only thing joining the two roofs together is the barrel which goes in between them. Now, this barrel had a crack in it, and the halacha is that a crack which is a tefach wide, at least, if let's say, for example, you have a crack in a ceiling, if it's at least a tefach wide, or tefach by a tefach, then it splits the two sides of the room, the two sides of the crack, into two. So if there was a crack in the big barrel, which was at least a tefach by a tefach, that would solve the problem, because anyway it would be considered two different roofs, and the tumah would not be able to travel into the second room. But they weren't sure exactly how big the crack in their barrel was, so the kosher is hamakedo begemi. They tied some sort of utensil, some sort of container, with a reed. A reed is not considered muktzah, and the knot is also not considered to be a permanent knot, since the reed is usually eaten by animals, so he's likely to untie it later on and feed it to his animal. So they tied this container onto a stick, and then lifted it up towards the barrel to see if it fit through the hole in the barrel. Because the container was a tefach by a tefach, and if it could fit through that hole, that would show that the hole was big enough to separate the two roofs, such that the tumah would not travel into the other room. So they did that later imish bagigas beser tefachim lav, to know if there was a crack, or at least a tefach by a tefach, in the barrel. And the Mishnah ends off, midvei nomadnu, and from their words we learnt, from this story we learnt a couple of things. Number one, shepoikkin, the one is allowed to close up a window. So it follows that one opinion which we came across earlier on in the Masechta. Umoiddin, we also learnt that one is allowed to measure things, as long as it is for the sake of a mitzvah on Shabbos. Of course, if it's not for the sake of a mitzvah, it's forbidden midrabanan, because it's uvda d'chol, a weekday activity. And finally, vacation by Shabbos. We also learn that one is allowed to tie things on Shabbos. And once again, this is only if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. And also, it's only if it is going to be a temporary knot, but not a permanent knot. Solik Maseches Shabbos, Mazel Tov.